When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL.
Stories of that game and what happened in the clubhouse is just fantastic. There's no game that can bleep you like this one.
It's Royce on Baseball.
Let's go here. Hey, it's finally back, the Ricey and Reavers baseball podcast. The season is upon us. The Twins will be here Thursday, although probably get rained out and have to open it on Friday. I think the weekend's going to be okay. 10,000 people allowed in the stadium. And we're doing this Tuesday, and the Twinks, that Tiger pitching looked familiar on Monday. Glady very upset. Convinced that Nelson Cruz hit two grand slams one inning.
I didn't get a chance to. I just got back to town late last night, so I didn't get a chance to see yesterday's ball game. But what happened? So he hit one that
right down the right field line, and it kind of went right.
Okay,
and it looked like he was convinced it nicked the inside of the foul pole. Very foul, nicked it. You know, because the way it reacted, and Gladden was. And they looked at it, and you couldn't really zero down in on it and see that it had nicked it. But, you know, so you would have had to just assume the reason it went right was that way. So they didn't call it a home run.
Okay.
Next pitch, screaming line drive. One of those, not a big, high, majestic Nelson home run, just a
laser
line drive, but jumped out of the ballpark. And then later on he... I heard Glady later on he doubled in a run too, I think. So they Provo said, well, that's five RBIs. He said, it should be nine. He had two grand slams. So
I think the rest for the first couple of games?
I think he got an AB in each game, but I don't know if he got a – I don't think he got a hit. I don't know. But he got a pinch hit. And Rocco – used him when he could, you know.
Sure.
I mean, he didn't hold him. I think he batted him in the fifth once and the sixth once, and should have been a sweep in Milwaukee. Were you here then?
No, I was monitoring that game while at the San Diego Zoo, Patrick, and I said, oh, 5-2 in the ninth. I was kind of monitoring on my phone as we were going from here and there. I said, 5-2 in the ninth. I put it in the pocket and went, well, that's a
column A comes in. I know it's 5 days ago, 6 days ago, but I got to get this off my chest. Column A comes in. I guess apparently they're going to let him close. And Rogers has been pitching earlier and looks great, by the way. Great, his stuff is back. But they're trying to find an inning where there's a bunch of lefties, you know, and bring him in then. So Column A comes in. First, did he get two quick ones? No, maybe one quick. He got an out, and he's ahead of Colton Wong. He got an out easy. He's ahead of Colton Wong, and he comes up and in and hits him in the hand. On the bat.
All right.
Real close. No problem. You're three runs ahead. Chopper back to the mound. Short of the mound. You're up 5-2. You're up 5-2. What do?
You take the out at first base.
You take the out at first base.
Sure. Yeah.
If you're my grandson, 10-year-old Luke, you take the out at second base. At first base. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
He got two outs.
And he might not even gotten it there in time. He makes a bad throw to second base. And then, so now he's got, I think he then has to face Yelich. Or he's then in a situation where Yelich is going to bat for sure. And another guy. I don't know if he walked a guy. He loaded the bases anyway. And now Travis Shaw comes up. Oh, and they pitch to him like he's God. And they won't throw a fastball. They just like Maeda did. They pitched to this guy. You know, they said, don't throw any fastballs to this guy. Well, after 8-9 pitches, you can't, you got to
throw him.
Maeda wouldn't throw him a strike, wouldn't throw him a fastball. And he walked him earlier. So anyway, he drills it, ties the game, and then they end up winning. It hits a ball in a gap, and then the two more runs score and tie the game 5-5. But it's just a – and Rocco, here is a Rocco rip, right? This is a Rocco rip.
Okay.
We're going to have to play better than that. We're going to have to throw the ball to the right bases. That's it. For him, that's like
– wow.
How could that idiot throw it to second? Right. Like that was Rocco's interpretation, meaning – we had one guy blow the game, and it was that pitcher
right.
who threw the ball to second. But instead, he did not frame it that way. But Colome came in the ninth again the next day. But we found out how you can play reasonably fast baseball.
How's that?
The middle game was 2:45. All it takes is matching six-inning no-hitters. That's all it takes.
I did.
And you can get done in under 3 hours if you just have 12 half innings of no-hit baseball.
I forget what day it was, but I did see a tweet from you that said, we're halfway home and it's 2 hours and 15 minutes, or something
yeah,
like that.
Right.
And, a brisk 2 hours and 15 minutes
yeah,
or something
oh God,
like
that.
That
was the opening day.
Was that opening day? Okay.
Opening day, it was 3:40 something, but you know, you go to extra innings and you put a guy in second, right? And You know what the Twins' chances of winning that game are? Zero.
Okay.
Because they got Hader for the 10th.
Yeah.
And then if they want to take him out at 180, then they got that Devin Williams,
and
the rookie of the year, who strikes out more people than Hader. You've gone through your whole bullpen. You know, they hooked by eight over five, so they went to all their good guys by now. And so that was a bad one, but you know, modern baseball, they just come back 2 days later and win the ball game, and then Sunday they knock the hell
so
out of
So were you okay with them taking Barrios out after six?
Yeah, because it was 84 pitches and he wasn't going to get to the finish line, and you had Rodgers, after seeing the way Rodgers threw on Thursday, and they had a couple of lefties coming up.
Was the right move.
Yeah,
okay,
I mean, because he was 84 and he wasn't.
And it's his first start of the year.
He's not going to get. You know, it's not like he's going to get a no-hitter because that'll take 100. They're not going to let him throw 120 pitches. So
right.
And the only reason he had so many pitches is because he was striking everybody out. I think he had, what was it? How many was it? It was god-awful. Opening day, they struck out, our boys struck out 17 times. And then they, that Burns struck out a bunch. We had that strikeout total going in Milwaukee. Not so much yesterday. It was hard to strike out yesterday.
What is the outlook for the Brew Crew, by the way? Because that division's kind of weird.
People like that team, but they're going to have to start hitting some. They're not. I heard them talking about them last night on some broadcast, and they have done nothing against starting pitching this year.
Okay, because I know
every starter is like stuck it to them.
That's a weird division because Pittsburgh's awful or supposed to be awful. I think Cincinnati's in a complete rebuild.
I think Cincinnati's as terrible as people think they are, but everybody says they are terrible.
Because the Birds are going to be good. The Cardinals are going to be good.
Yeah, they should be good. Now, Cubs are okay, and you know, I think you know it'll be a three-team battle probably.
But are the Cubs that team, though, Pat, that you know it comes you know late July, if they're around 500, are they going to blow it up?
Aren't
a lot of those guys on their last years?
You know, Rizzo's 31 or 2 and wants big money, and teams aren't doing that anymore.
No.
I mean, Rizzo's a good player, but the worst thing they could do is
lock him up for
him,
5 more
give
years.
Give him a
yeah.
bundle of money and right. then not have money to put the
Cause
other
I think
guys.
Bryant, Baez, and Contreras are also all free agents, I think, after this year.
Yes, and Bryant's, they're all younger than Rizzo.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
So you can't sign Rizzo and then let these three guys walk. So, yeah, they've had their time. So I don't know about that division. I think the Braves are, I mean, the Brewers are, might be okay, but
okay.
But not they aren't hitting.
I got news for you. So Sunday, I was driving back, and I got to listen to the Dodger game.
Now, you didn't drive to California.
Yes, I did. Yes,
with
I did.
The family.
Well, no, they flew. I wanted some windshield time.
So you drove. How long did it take you? Two days?
2 days each way. Okay. 2 days. I did it in 12-hour stints each day.
And did they then stay out there for a day or two without you and then come home?
No. I left Friday, and then a week ago Friday, and then I picked them up at the airport the next day, and then...
You drove straight through?
Yeah.
Friday?
No. So I picked them up late on late Saturday when I finally got to town.
Okay.
So and then we spent the week out there.
It wasn't 2 days then. It was... Well, I guess one night, just one.
One overnight. Yep, exactly.
What do you do? Sleep at a rest stop?
No.
Next to the truck drivers?
No, I got a hotel. First time on the Colorado border, and then on my way back yesterday, stayed in Wyoming 2 nights ago. So anyway, but I was listening to the Dodger game. Boy, are they good!
Oh, God.
That club. I honestly,
David Price, $32 million in the bullpen.
Right. Mm-hmm. They have. That May is their fourth starter.
Oh, yeah, and he throws 100. He's
crazy. Who's going to beat these guys?
They
don't have a weakness, Pat. Their lineup is great.
And they got bench players, and they got two catchers, and they're just a machine.
The most underrated aspect of that team, their fielding is fantastic. You know, they got
the shortstop's good.
Seager. Turner's a great third baseman.
Yep, Turner's good.
And they got that Lux kid playing second base, yeah. And he might be their future shortstop.
Yeah, he's their new kid. They're terrific. Whew. But a lot of it's, you know, it's not all going out. Yeah, I mean, you go out and get Trevor Bauer, obviously, for ungodly money, and other guys. But a lot of it's development, too. Yep. Most of the position players are their guys, right? Is there any?
Well, I'll put it this way.
Turner, they got it for the cheap.
I think he was a waiver claim.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
I remember writing, he got released, basically. And I remember the Twins didn't have a third baseman, and I remember writing they should take this guy. Because a couple of years earlier he'd had a decent year,
mm-hmm.
and they ended up. I think LA got him right then. Right.
Yeah, something
when he got
like
released.
That. Yeah. But on Sunday they were playing the Rockies, and I know the Rockies aren't great. They beat them 5-1 or something like that. I can't remember what the final score was. And both Bellinger and Seager didn't play. They had a rest day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're good. Man, they're good. Yeah, it's, and, you know, people are going to, you know, getting Bauer was overkill, that's for sure.
Sure.
But what the hell? What are you going to do? He wants to win a World Series, and, you know, he was going to get that money someplace. Might as well be them. Yeah, I'd hate to be chasing them, though.
What the Padres did. You know, they got a good club, but they're going to play in the wild card game.
Yes. And
they're not going to win that division.
No.
And they might even get 95 wins, and they're still going to play.
How nervous are they? Tatis got hurt. He's got some. I mean, it's not long term.
Was it a shoulder?
But he had 5 errors in the first week because his throws were bad.
Well, I was at the game Friday. I went to the Padres game against Arizona Friday, brought the fam.
Is that when he kicked it around?
No, he actually played pretty good that night. Mm-hmm. I think it was Saturday that he had a couple errors.
Yeah, well, he had all throwing. So, but now him getting hurt, that'll make you nervous.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, soapbox.
Here we go.
Rocco taking guys out of the game. If you have heartburn, he takes you out of the game. How many games would the Faribault Lakers play if everyone wasn't feeling 100%?
We would not finish.
Buxton
game.
Says the other day, he's hit home runs in the first two games. He got to hit his first time up, and I'm not feeling great. Well, give him a shot of Pepto-Bismol and tell him to go get it. What the hell? Drink some Gatorade light.
Right.
Let's go. And then yesterday, Arise belches basically when he's batting, and they take him out of the game. After he bats, they take him out of the game after two innings. This is ridiculous. Somebody said on Twitter, I was ranting about it, and he says, I think Rocco would take you out of the game if he thought you might have to take a leak. You know.
So I'm glad you brought this up. Is this, do you think, the reason why they put Donaldson on the injured list? Because they want to be careful with him? Because, Pat, this is troubling. This is a troubling sign.
This is different. I mean, they're saying hamstring, and then he had some convoluted instead of calf. You know, if it's sure. hamstring, okay, small. I mean, that's not good. But he had some long explanation to the fellas. I think it was on Zoom, but I don't know, or if it was just some other
Rocco
guy.
Or Donaldson.
No, Donaldson, about how he's trying to change his running style to so it puts less pressure on his calves. And he's getting used to it, so it puts more pressure on his hamstring. And it was just a little bit of tightness, but apparently. But I don't trust him on any injury with him, do you?
No.
Which is unbelievable because he looked great this spring. First time comes up, he hits a rocket double. And, you know, people think that there's something soft about him. Just the opposite. I mean, he's the hardest worker you ever saw in your life, but I don't know. He's got the bad legs. He's got too many muscles. I think he's got too damn many muscles.
Because here's what comes to mind. You know, remember that year, that final year that he had where he got injured with the Blue Jays, and then they traded him to Cleveland. Remember that when Cleveland was trying to make that playoff mm-hmm. run after the
end of the year? Before he went to Atlanta.
Before he signed the one-year deal in Atlanta. And I remember this was the year after Cleveland went to the World Series and got beat by the Cubs. And I forget who they were playing in the playoffs. And I remember watching Donaldson, his at-bats. He was weak. I mean, he was just overmatched. And I know he was injured. But then I'm thinking, okay, the Braves gave him the one-year deal. He had a decent year. And then we give him four.
Yeah. It was it's all – the reason they gave it to him at that age is they still thought he had bat speed. And I think he does, but – you know, but he's going to have to be healthy.
Well, I was going
to
say, at this point, he's going to be a DH, right?
Oh, no. No, he's...
If he can't stay on the field?
Well, not with the other guy.
Well, I mean...
can't take the other guy.
Well, no,
out.
I know. I'm saying...
Maybe after he leaves, but he's a hell of a third baseman, too.
Well, I understand that.
But, well, I don't know. Let's see. If he misses a month with this thing, then you can say, okay, this is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he comes back after 10 days and plays for a month, then maybe you can start getting into it. But
do you think that that's why they got Simmons? Because they kind of figured that they couldn't count on him for 130?
No. They wanted a shortstop. They wanted a real shortstop.
Plunk. Right, but I guess giving them Plunk. Depth in the infield is what I was getting at.
No, that had nothing to do with it.
Okay.
They didn't like Larise at second last year because he got heavy and he didn't move. They've never liked Polanco at shortstop, even though he's an all-star. He was never, you know.
He was an all-star because of his bat.
Bat, yeah. And they, you know, and they had a, they thought Royce Lewis was on the way, so they made a sure. one-year deal with this guy. This guy, by the way, is fabulous. In the field.
Yeah.
He is so smooth, and he gets rid of the ball. His throws are, you know, like, he rarely fires the ball. He just flips it because he gets rid of it in an mm-hmm. eighth of a second, and he's extremely smooth. They wanted to tighten up in the field. That's why they did it. And if Buxton's playing center, and he's playing short, and Jeffers is catching, you're a whole lot better than you used to be up the middle, although right. the Garver and Jeffers looks like you're going to just play every other day.
Okay.
This is the way they're going to do it. But and Garver's better than he used to be. But, no, Simmons was all about just tightening up the field. And, you know, I think if he's – with Lewis's situation, I wouldn't be surprised to have him, you know, if he's wants to play for the same amount of money he's making now, to sign a 1 or 2 year extension. You know, if he gets through half the year without having an ankle problem or something, because he's a strange cat. I mean, he's a good cat, but really, really upfront with what he says. He has no filter.
Well,
as
what
far.
Was his deal last
he
year?
He was depressed. He was contemplating suicide.
Wow.
Which I don't know if that's true. I mean, I don't know if that's waking up one day and say, ah, hell, I don't like life. I think I'll commit suicide. And 15 minutes later, having a cup of coffee. You know, I don't
sure.
know.
Okay.
I don't know what it was. But, you know, he opted out. He got,
right.
I guess the COVID he might be, maybe he's a little bit of a, you know, a mentally afraid of disease or something. I have no idea.
We work with a guy like that who's been doing the show from his house.
That's right. Even though he's a vaccinated human being. Right.
I was going to ask you, because, again, I haven't been able to watch a ton so far, but I will starting tonight. How's our guy Miguel looking so far, four games into the season?
You know, I'm running right field, but he's striking out about half the time.
Okay.
I guess it's just what it's going to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, because his at-bats have been, when they strike him out, it takes longer.
Okay. Well, because I know he
had... It's not boom, boom, boom.
Sure.
It's boom.
Oh. Because I know he had the bases loaded strikeout on opening day. I was monitoring that, and I thought, well, Miguel's in midseason form. Well,
he could go up against Josh Hader 162 games and never not strike out.
Right.
He's got no chance.
No, none.
No chance. He is, I've said, against a good pitcher, you know, a guy with good stuff, who's not stupid, which means doesn't spin him a breaking pitch in the mm-hmm. middle of the plate. I would rather face him in an RBI situation than anybody in the Twins lineup.
Oh, of course. No question.
Because, you know, there's a... Especially if there's a runner on, if the winning run's on third, and there's one out, give me Miguel. Give me Miguel right. if I'm pitching.
You load the bases to face
then
Miguel.
Then there's going
to
be a guy on third with two outs.
Right. You know? Yes.
Then they got to get you hit to score him. But, I don't know. He's, you know, he's 27 now. That's a little early to be slowing down, right?
Mm-hmm.
That used to be prime. But when you weigh 290 pounds, maybe that's not prime.
No,
right?
It's
maybe
not.
It's not. I mean, 285, 290. I mean, there's really, Frank Howard might be the only position playing baseball player this big. And he was 6'7 or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a basketball star at Ohio State, became mm-hmm. and he weighed 300 pounds, you know, but he was, you know, a huge man.
Yes, and right.
He was a huge man, and he, you know, when you looked at him, you said, man, he's big. You didn't say, he's too big,
mm-hmm.
you know. But with Miguel, you just, there's never been a guy that big. It's not a game made for left tackles.
No,
you know?
No, not at all.
And it's
especially when the modern game now is all about power pitching, power arms, and everything else. If you
I've said this before, and I'm probably on this with Joe and anything, but here's another problem. He is never okay. The game starts. He gets a bat in the first inning. He bat in the third inning against the starter. Right, whatever happened against the starter. He's never going to bat in the fifth inning in an RBI situation in a game that's still close and face the same guy that he faced the first two times.
No, you're right. Yes.
He's always going to face a reliever.
Mm-hmm.
If the starter is struggling, unless he's rolling like Barrios was, Miguel is never going to see the same pitcher a third time. And that's, I don't know, you're an old slugging baseball player. Familiarity helps, right?
Absolutely,
you know,
it does.
And you don't have that. You don't have familiarity anymore.
No, you're right.
You know, even you know the old lefty specialist guys. You'd get to the end of a season, and your division rivals, when they played them 18, you know, you played everybody in the league 18 times, and there'd be some lefties that you'd hear. Tony Oliva faced, this is the 15th time he's faced him. You know, I mean,
right.
they that seventh, eighth, ninth inning matchups were always, you know, especially for lefties more than righties, that, you know, they would have that guy and he was there to pitch to Tony, you know, or Crew, or even those guys, those guys could hit lefties. But Jimmy Hall was a great rookie year, got hit in the head by a left-hander, started giving a little lefty. That guy never got a chance to face a right-hander after the sixth inning, but he wouldn't have, in modern game, he would have never got to see the right-handed starter a third time.
Well, it was like you're reminding me now of when who was the Kansas City reliever that they would always bring in to face Joe? And Joe would, why are you bringing, Joe's going to slap it to left center field. I can't remember. I'll have to look it up. But
yeah.
Guardy even said, like, why is he bringing him in? Where's Mauer? You know, but who was the manager Joe back then? Was it Ned Yost, I think, maybe?
Yeah, but Joe always liked that lefty who didn't throw real hard.
No, yeah.
If he just threw it out. And they'd always try to, the lefty who didn't throw hard enough to get it in his kitchen, and tried to work him away. Working him away was like, you know.
Well, and at the Dome, it's going to be a one-hopper, and it's going to go off the wall, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. It's I wonder if what's going to happen to those guys who used to be 43, the lefties, with the three-batter minimum is probably. They might make it to 38, but they're not going to be around. They're not going to be like Jesse Orozco.
Terry Mulholland.
Yeah, Jesse Orozco. I think he didn't. Were we one of his last teams?
I think
he was
so.
44?
I think so. I remember that.
Jesse Orozco was around so long, we traded him for Kuzman and ended up getting him back.
Wow.
18 years later or something.
I did not
they signed
know that.
Him. Yeah,
wow.
he was a young phenom. In the Twins, left-handed starter in the Twins system who was going to be one of their starters.
Was Kuzman one of the guys you killed off?
No.
Or did you saw...
Kuz and I...
No, you thought he had died and then it was...
Oh, yeah, Jerry Kuzman, formerly of Appleton, Minnesota, died out in western Minnesota. Yeah. And I went on Twitter and expressed these great regrets. And somebody said... Immediately responds, different Jerry Kuzman. Same spelling. Same, you know, and this guy no longer lived in Appleton. Well, Jerry, the Kuz lives somewhere in western Wisconsin now or something.
Sure.
Kuz has gotten a little, Kuz spent some time in the Huskow because he wouldn't pay his taxes because he believes he got into a group that believes that taxes are that. Federal income taxes are illegal.
Ah, okay.
So it didn't work out quite well for him, so he spent a little time. But Kuz and I were, we got good. We were good when he was here, and then he had a bad year. You know, the one year he won 20 was great when they first got him. The next was it, and then he had another half-assed decent year, and he stayed a third year and got hammered. And I, wrote some stuff about how he was finished and stuff like that.
Okay.
He ended up going to the Whiteys, I think. But he was an observer of... That was back when they all read the stuff, and some of them took it personally. And
sure.
So a friend of mine... Where'd he end up? Somebody guy came in, he says... a guy says, yeah, I'm a friend of Patrick Ricey, and our Pat Ricey, and he said, that's your problem. I think it was Kuz that said that.
That's great.
That's your problem, he says. And the guy, I can't remember who it was. Yeah, well, I don't like him that well either.
Right. Me either. I'm
yeah,
not a fan.
Right. Yeah. I know. I just thought I'd throw that out.
So, really quick, you mentioned your rant. Did you watch the Sunday night baseball game? The Whiteys and the Angels?
Not all of it.
Joe Maddon.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of his style of managing because
I think he was good at one time, but I think he's got a little crazy.
Well, he's also he's a dumbass. So he's got their prized pitcher, Shohei Ohtani, coming back. He had Tommy John, was it 2 years ago, a year and a half ago?
Hitting second.
So he's on the ropes. I'm listening to the ESPN call with Shambi and Chris Singleton, who are fantastic.
Yeah,
I really
Shambi's
like that
really
tandem.
Good, yeah.
And he's on the ropes, and Singleton's going, why is he leaving him in? You know, over and over and over. There's a play at the plate.
Yes, I saw
the
play at the plate.
And he damn near gets run over by Jose Abreu.
Slides into him.
And Abreu
knocks him ass over tea kettle.
And what are you thinking? First of all, he shouldn't have been in the game in the first place.
Yeah, well, here's your trouble. If you're going to – I was talking about this with Judd yesterday on our podcast, that the trouble with it is if you start him and have him in the lineup as your pitcher, well, he's not going to go more than five,
right.
Probably four, because he runs out of bullets. And then you lost your DH for five innings. So why don't they, you know, then you don't have a DH. You can't stay in the game and hit if you take him out as a pitcher. So why don't you make that the day that he's not in the lineup?
Even though he did hit a home run in the first inning.
I mean, it was a great story.
Yeah,
that, hey, the first guy ever to hit a home run and strike out however many guys or something
like that. But in that spot, though, Pat, because Singleton was pointing this out on the broadcast, he said, I don't understand why Madden's leaving him in the game. He's not due to come up for six batters.
Yeah.
You know, so there was no point leaving him in. And I'm thinking, you're just begging for something to go wrong in that situation.
And he's already had an injury.
Yeah, exactly.
He's already had Tommy John and the whole thing. He is a rare talent, though. Why don't they use him as a reliever? You know, he throws 100, you know, to have him pitch the eighth and ninth innings.
Well, aren't they in a situation, though, where they want to do what he wants to do?
If you're a DH, can you come in and pitch? I don't even know. I guess you could come. How about that?
Sure, yeah, a position player could come in and pitch. Why wouldn't a DH be able to?
I don't know. I don't know if you...
You know what? That's a Quirkson question is what that is.
Get us a Quirkogen, quick. Get us a Quirkogen. I was a little disappointed listening to my Sunday night game because was it Sunday night that Timmy didn't get... No, maybe it was earlier in the week. What, does he do Friday nights or something?
I don't know.
Timmy does one of them and Buster does Sundays. And,
okay.
But Timmy wasn't getting any Quirkogen. He had a hard time getting any airtime in. You know?
Oh, the Quirkogens are the best.
Quirkogens are the best, yes. I sent him a Quirkogen about 6 months ago. He was very delighted with it. I can't remember what it was, but I said, this is a Quirkogen.
I'll never forget the story you told about when it was him, Rosenthal, and Buster all covering the Orioles beat when they started, 0-20 or whatever?
0-21, yeah. 0-21, yeah. They were.
What are we going to write?
That's a pretty good crew of beat writers.
Oh my God.
It was unbelievable. Baltimore was always my favorite, though, even because of Earl.
Sure.
You know, in the 70s when I started writing. And they, I told you this, but they had Kenny Nigro, who ended up being George's PR guy. Still with us. He's got to be in his 80s, and he's still running the thing. But he was covering for one of the Baltimore had the Evening Sun and the Morning Sun, and then there was also a Baltimore News American, I think, then.
Okay.
So there were three Baltimore papers covering them. And the Senators were gone, so they had Washington, too. But so they had quite a bit of beat writers. But Hanneman and Nigro and Earl post-game would argue about strategy for like 20 minutes. They'd challenge Earl, and Earl would call him dirty names. And Earl would be sitting there in his baseball underwear drinking. And that was great. I used, when you're a beat guy and you're writing for two papers, you have an obligation to go to your own clubhouse.
Right.
But in Baltimore, about half the time, I'd go listen to Earl and then run over and hope I could grab Mock or somebody, or Quillacy is there. I could always grab him, but go over and get my twin stuff. But I'd at least, if it was a three-game series, I'd go listen to the Earl battle at least once,
You'd have to, right? At least once,
because it was so great. It was so great. You've heard the Earl Charlie story, right?
Oh, yes.
He takes the Baltimore. Once a year, he took the Baltimore writers out for dinner. They dreaded it because they knew he'd get hammered and MF them all. But he'd take him to a great restaurant.
Sure. Got a good meal out of it, at least.
Took him to Charlie's Cafe Exceptional, which was right next to St. Olaf back in the day, St. Olaf Church. And kind of so good, it was a step up of Murray's, you know.
Okay.
And they had the older waitresses, and that's when he said, "Honey, before you die, give me three not gin and tonics. I don't know what they were, but three something like that." He was a beauty. How about the, you think they were upset in Fenway over the weekend when the O's come in and win three?
Not only, they beat them 11-3 on Sunday.
Yeah, well, 10 runs in the first two innings, I think.
Are the Red Sox that bad this year?
Oh, yeah, they are. Although yesterday they got a bunch of runs, but yeah, they're that bad. Anywho, we're done. I'm going to go down and talk to the boys. And we'll do this again next week. Ricey and Reavers, the famous baseball podcast. We might have teams playing pretty soon.
I think in a couple of weeks, yes.
Yeah, wow. They're going to make up for lost time from last year.